Our sermon title this morning may be something of a misnomer because I know that Mount Carmel people don't need this. Self-examination. We don't need that here, do we? Well, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a precious promise of God. Self-examination is the title of our message this morning. Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 to 34. And all of you who are in regular attendance here at Mount Carmel should be very familiar with this text. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, obviously, in an area where he had heard that there were abuses. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in order to set our text in its context, I want to remind you of verses 23 to 26. And again, you are familiar with these verses. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now we read these words every first Sunday. They will be read in your hearing next Sunday morning. The Lord willing, we intend to celebrate the Lord's Supper here. Paul mentions the sins of the people at Corinth in verse 21 of chapter 11, and let us look at that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21, he says, "For in eating, each one takes his supper ahead of the other, and one is hungry, and another is drunk." This was what was happening in the church at Corinth when they came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, one of the problems in the Christian church today is a lack of teaching. And what we try to do in this church is teach from the Word of God. Now, some people do not consider what I do preaching. I had a friend of the family in Pittsburgh years ago mentioned to me, this was shortly after I graduated from Trinity Theological Seminary with a doctorate degree, and she said to me, "Now, Pastor, you're a doctor, but can you preach?" And what she meant was, could I entertain? That's really what she meant. Well, we don't have an entertaining ministry here on purpose. Because if we are pleasing men, we are really not the servants of the Lord. We are to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. We are to build you up in the faith so that you can do the work of the ministry. That's what the pastor teacher is supposed to do. One of the texts that came to mind when I was thinking about the introduction to our thoughts today is Hosea 4:6. The prophecy of Hosea, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests to me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children." What an indictment. Hosea is the prophet that the Lord told to go marry a prostitute as an illustration of the prostitution of his chosen people to him. Israel had gone a-whoring after other gods and after other people's gods and all of that, and they had rejected the Lord God of Israel. And God is saying to the people through this prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, there are many people who lay claim to Christianity today. They call themselves Christians who don't know anything about the Christian faith. They are not able to give a reasonable explanation to anyone who asks them a reason for the hope that is in them, because they don't know. How many of you can actually explain to another person what it means to be a Christian? Well, there are a lot of people I call church folks, people who come to church for years, and because they are not Jews, they think they're Christians. Well, you're not a Christian because you're not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, I mean, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. And all Gentiles are not saved. In order to be a Christian, you have to be committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain what those words mean again. Lordship means that Jesus has the right to rule in your life. And if Jesus is not ruling in your life, you're not a Christian. Jesus means Savior. If you are not saved by the blood of Jesus, if your sins are not covered by the blood of Jesus, you're not a Christian. Christ means Messiah, God's anointed one. He is priest, king, and prophet. And if you are not committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. It's just that simple. Now the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is, those who really realize or come to the realization that we are sinners and there's nothing that we can do about our sin except to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Then and then only are you a Christian. Salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Why do we need to examine ourselves carefully? We need to examine ourselves, first of all, to make sure that we are in the body of Christ. Because if you are not in the body of Christ, how can you adequately remember what Christ did for you? Christianity, beloved, is an intellectual pursuit. Now, this is quite contrary to what most people think today about church and about Christianity. Most people today think that church is about entertainment. If you go to church and there's not a good hand clapping, foot stomping choir, that church is dead. This church is dead, people say, because we don't have that. But we preach the word here. People think that you got to have stained glass windows and you got to have a preacher who performs in the pulpit and all of that stuff. I know what's going on. And the focus of this ministry is on purpose. Because Christianity is an intellectual pursuit. If you don't know why you believe what you believe, how can you be confirmed in it? What it means to be a Christian is to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that means that everything that you do is done to the glory of God or toward that aim. You don't leave the church and quit being a Christian because you walk out the door. No way. God says what he means, and he means what he says the first time. God leads and guides his people through his word. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. These are things you need to know. God led Israel around in the wilderness 40 years teaching them these three lessons. Now you want God to lead you around 40 years in the wilderness before you learn? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. That's Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And because our hearts are wicked, because we are desperate in our sinfulness, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to be confirmed in the Word of God. Now, every time you come to church, you're not going to hear something new. You're not going to hear something you don't know. But you should be confirmed in something you already know. You should be challenged to live a Christian life. And living a Christian life means that you're going to carry your Christianity with you wherever you go. Now, Holy Communion requires confession and repentance, or we face a judgment. How is it that one can eat and drink the elements in Holy Communion unworthily? Well, first of all, the reason that I explained to you what it means to be a Christian, if you are not a Christian, you really can't partake rightly of the elements. Because if you are not a Christian, you are not going to realize what these elements truly represent. And what do these elements represent? They represent the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Communion replaces the Passover celebration. I explained that to you a couple of weeks ago. The Passover celebration, the Israelites were required to kill the Paschal lamb, to sprinkle the blood around the door because the angel of death was coming through. And if the angel of death did not see the blood, in other words, if that family was not under the blood, the firstborn was killed. Under the new covenant in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. And it perfects that symbolism that was in the blood of the Paschal Lamb in the Old Testament in Exodus. And all of us who come into the world have to get under the blood of Jesus in order for our sins to be forgiven. And if you are not under the blood of Jesus, if your sins have not been forgiven, if you are not committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to the communion table, you are eating and drinking damnation to yourself. Pretty important. And I remind you again that this is why we don't pass the elements down the pews. we cause you, we want you to come up, make a conscious effort to get up and come forward to receive the elements in Holy Communion. Secondly, if one is living in known sin for which there is no repentance or no intention to repent, no plea for repentance to Almighty God, that one is receiving the elements unworthily. You can't be living in open sin and come to the communion table and receive the elements worthily, because Jesus died in order that your sins might be covered. And thirdly, if there has been no confession of general sins, you are receiving the elements unworthily. Now, we sin all the time, even when sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't know it. And this is why when we come together to worship here, we use a general confession. We confess before Almighty God that we have sinned by doing the things that we should not have done, by not doing the things that we should have done. There's no health in us. So we confess to Almighty God that we are sinners before we come together, before we start to worship. And the reason that you come to church is to worship God. We come to church to worship God. We should not come to church to be entertained. We should not come to church to socialize. Now, socialization is a part of it, but that's a minuscule part of it. But the primary reason, the focus, the reason that we should come to church collectively is to worship God according to the Scriptures. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is. Now, those who partake unworthily become guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How is this? Well, what happens when someone tramples on the flag of their country? If someone tramples on the flag of their country, that means that they are disrespecting their country. Well, it's the same thing. One who treads on the symbol of Christ's body and Christ's blood are being despicable in the eyes of the Lord, because Jesus Christ is very God of very God, who left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for us on the cross. And if you partake of the body and blood of Christ in an unworthy manner, you're trampling on the body and blood of Christ. You shouldn't do that. To eat and drink in an unworthy manner does not mean that because you are weak or have some misgivings, you should not come to communion. Communion is a means of grace. It is a means of grace, and it's a means of strengthening your weakness. We're all weak, and we need grace, and we need the strength of the elements in the church. And this is one of the ordinances of the church, one of the two ordinances of the church, communion and baptism, the only ones that are sanctioned by the Bible. Now, when we approach the Lord's table, we must be conscious of what it represents. The Lord's table represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what it represents. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did he go through such humiliation? Why did he allow men to treat him so despicably and nail him to a cross? Well, he did that so that we could be saved, so that we could know the justification of Almighty God, so that we could partake of the righteousness of Almighty God. That's why he did it. Paul tells us here in our text, in verse 30, 1 Corinthians 11, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And what is the reason? The reason is because some of the Corinthians were abusing the Lord's table. They were shoving and pushing and getting ahead of each other. Some of them came to eat a meal, which they shouldn't have done, and some of them came even drunk. And Paul is saying, because you are abusing your privilege at the Lord's table, because you are sinning at the Lord's table, some are weak among you, and some are sick, and some have been taken out of the world. Some sleep the sleep of death. That's what this is talking about. And this is how serious Holy Communion is. And this is why you need a sermon like this every once in a while to awaken you so that you will come to the realization of how serious it is. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you are not truly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't really understand what these elements represent, you should not partake of it. Now, we're not going to make a judgment on you. When we offer Holy Communion in this church, if you come forward, we're going to serve you. But it's on you because you got up and you came forward. Hodge says that there's nothing figurative about this verse 30. Nothing figurative about it. It's an actual, it means what it says. It's a literal, the literal interpretation is a proper interpretation for this verse. First of all, it is saying that because some of the Corinthian Christians had been irreverent at the Lord's table, they were physically weak. Because some of the Corinthians were abusive of the Lord's table, the Lord had judged them with physical illness. Not only were they weak, they were actually ill. And because some of them had acted illegally or disrespectfully at the Lord's table, some of them had been taken out of the world. Now, Hebrews 12:4 says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And the Hebrews passage goes on to say, you should not despise the chastening of the Lord, because when the Lord chastens us, he chastens us for the purpose of correction. Now, in partaking of this most vital ordinance, we must be willing to sit in judgment of ourselves. And why is that so hard? Because we're sinners by nature. And we're always looking for a rationale to justify the things that we are doing that we know are wrong. Well, that wasn't so bad. Well, if it's sin, it is bad. No matter how small a sin you may think it is, if it's sin, it's bad. Now, what Paul is saying here is, if we come to the Lord's table, we come to judgment, we are found wanting, first thing God will do is chasten us. And the chastening is like a spanking. And the spanking is for those who are weak in some area. And, you know, we should pay attention to the chastening of the Lord. We should examine ourselves. When things are not going very well, we should examine ourselves to see if there's some sin in our lives. Now, I'm not suggesting that every malady is a result of sin in your life. As Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But we should constantly examine ourselves to see if we are right with the Lord. Is my attitude right? Is my action right? Am I asking the Lord for the strength that I need in prayer? Am I talking to the Lord as I walk through the day? How am I living my life? What do other people see in me? Do they see Christ in me? Do they see a person who is full of the love of the Lord? Or do they see a person who is completely selfish and self-centered? What do other people see when they look at me? The Lord will give you a spanking. And that's what Paul means when he says the weakness is among you. And if the spanking don't work, he'll give you a whipping. Now, what is the whipping all about? Well, this is what Paul says, sickness. Some sicknesses are a result of a whipping from the Lord. The Lord will whip your behind if you're not right. If you're a Christian and you're not acting right, you're not doing the right thing, the Lord will give you a whipping. And the Hebrews 12 text says, what father is he who does not chasten his son? If the father loves his son, he'll chasten the son. So the Lord chastens those whom he loves. The Lord will give you a whipping. Now, does the Lord know how to whip you? You better believe he does. The Lord got more ways of whipping you than you can think of. And then it says, if the spanking or the whipping isn't enough, and you are truly a born-again believer, one of God's elect, he will take you out of here. We are only a heartbeat away from eternity. We are only a breath or two away from eternity. God can take you out of here. Let a man examine himself. Let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now, therefore, we must be especially diligent when we approach the Lord's table. Now, we're going to hopefully celebrate Holy Communion here next Sunday. What should you do to get yourself right to receive Holy Communion? If you haven't been doing this in the past, you ought to do it now. You ought to get on your knees and confess your sinfulness before Almighty God. Not only should you confess your sinfulness, but the sinfulness of your people. We live in a crooked and corrupt and sinful world. We need to confess the sins of our nation, like Daniel did. Daniel confessed the sins of his nation. He confessed his own sins also. And he went into his room three times a day and prayed toward Jerusalem. Now, many of us are busy and we don't have time to do that, to do what Daniel did, that is, to go into his room or go into the closet and pray. But you know, we can pray anywhere, anytime. One of the reasons that I think that it's so ludicrous for some people who want to come up with the school prayer thing, is if we are teaching our children at home about the Lord, our children know that they can go into the classroom and pray if they want to. Who's going to stop me from praying? Who can stop me from praying other than killing me? And if they kill me, I'm going to be gone home to be with the Lord, so that's okay too. But nobody can stop you from praying. And this business of having a law that says that you can pray in school, that's ludicrous. You don't need that. You don't need that. If you're a teacher, you can pray. You know, the children don't have to hear you praying. And you can pray especially for those disruptive kids in your class. You need to pray for them. Self-examination and confession and a willingness to repent is necessary to get right for Holy Communion. Now, this is a very, very practical, very needed message, because none of us are adequate. None of us are completely sufficient within ourselves. We need God's grace. And when we come together to worship, we ought to come together prepared to worship. How many of you this morning, I don't want to see a show of hands, but I just want to ask you, how many of you this morning prayed that you would get a blessing from this worship service? You should pray that way. Lord, let me go to church to collectively worship you that I might get a blessing from you. Let there be something in the service that will bless my heart to you. You should go away from this place with a blessing. And if you're not going away with a blessing, you've wasted your time. And this is why we try so diligently here to preach to you from the Word of God, so that the Word of God will give you a blessing. We get blessings from just reading the Word of God. In the evening services, I'm working through the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation starts out by saying, those who read it and those who hear it read get a blessing. Hallelujah. We must approach the Lord's table seriously, with thanksgiving in our hearts for the tremendous price that was paid for our redemption. And what is this tremendous price that I'm talking about? The Lord of glory, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, came to this sin-cursed earth to go to the cross to be sin for you and me. You understand that? Or do you believe it and accept it by faith? Well, we believe it and accept it by faith. We can't understand it. I can't understand how God would die for me while I was hating him. I don't understand that. But I accept it. I believe it. And I thank God for it. And all of you who are born-again believers who come to church to worship God should prepare your hearts to worship God next Sunday morning with the receiving of the elements especially. Examine yourself. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Amen. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would help us in our weaknesses to be willing to submit to you and your Lordship, and to live our lives moment by moment as blood-bought children, which we are. We do thank you for salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, in which we are to remember the great price that was paid for our salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts to worship you through the receiving of the elements, as we look forward to doing so next week. We pray that you would be pleased to bless each member of this congregation according to your good and perfect will. We beg it in Jesus' name. Amen.